Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Your Holistic Health with Dr. Nuruddin. As always, we're certainly indebted to the Divine Supreme Being for an opportunity to address you this morning. As always, we're praying that things are going well for you wherever you may be. I want to talk to you today about success is in your hands. We're only going to be here for about 30 minutes. And hopefully we'll get a chance to share some ideas and concepts in somewhat of a complete form, with hopes that you'll take these ideas and principles and use them. As human beings, we are healthy or unhealthy, happy or unhappy, strong or weak, alive or dead, in direct proportion that we think thoughts of health or illness, strength or weakness. It's all predicated based on our thinking. Our body, like all other material things, manifests only what your mind accepts in belief. I said our body, like all other material things, manifest only what you or your mind accepts in belief. It's like what it accepts as conviction. Whatever the subconscious mind accepts as a conviction, then it manifests that thing. Whether it's health, whether it's happiness, whether it's sickness, whether it's sorrow. If the subconscious mind picks up a conviction, some intensity to that thought, then it will materialize it. All organs of the human body are receptacle or receptive to our thoughts. We can't get around that. Every organ in your body, whether it's the kidneys, whether it's the spleen, whether it's the heart, whether it is the gallbladder, whether it's the liver, it doesn't matter what it is. It's receptive to our thoughts. So if our thoughts are positive, then it's going to give a positive vibration to the cellular structure. If our thoughts are negative, it's going to give a negative vibration. I shouldn't have to say to you, if it's negative, it's going to be bad. If it's positive, it's going to be good. You automatically know the difference between the two. And your cells do also. Your soul does also. It knows the difference between what's good for it and what's bad for it. There's no question. Fear and anger will affect the rhythm of the heart and the digestive system. And we know this to be a fact because we know at times in the past when you've been angry or when you've been feel fearful, you could, in fact, feel the rhythm of the heart, the digestive system not working properly, indigestion sets in, the liver, the kidney, and the endocrine system. All of them will be affected as just as a result of fear and anger, states of mind. And what happens when this happens? Well, there's a secretion of hormones that are affected based on whether the thought or the perception is negative or positive. There's going to be a secretion of hormones into the bloodstream. And as those hormones are secreted into the bloodstream, if they are positive, then they're going to give a happy and joyous vibration to the cells in the body. If they're negative, quite naturally, they're going to produce an unhappy situation for the cells in the body. Congestion starts to set in, poor elimination starts to take place, a lack of digestion starts setting in, so many different things start happening based on thoughts relevant to the systems in the body. This will affect your weight, your sleep patterns, desires for improvement of the life in all its dimensions, whether it's mental, spiritual, and physical. Fear and anger will affect the rhythm of the body. There's no question. But this is why it's so important for you to keep fear, anger, doubt, and these type of things out of your mind because they're going to affect you physiologically, biologically, anatomically, in all those different ways. Thoughts are the causes. Conditions are the effects. So the health that you have right now is the condition. How did it get in that state? It got there as a result of your thought. Your thoughts led to your feelings. Your feelings led to your actions. That's what produced the results. We can make and mold our internal environment, our bodies, we might say, and our external conditions by our resolve to direct our thoughts towards the goal or ideal we have in mind. So now this is huge. First of all, you got to know what you want. You should have goals and objectives. Things that you're reaching for every day, that you're working for every day, refusing to give up on that particular goal or objective, whatever it is. But we can make our lives what we choose for them to be. But we can just let them move based on chance. Let's just see what tomorrow's going to bring. In most cases, it doesn't bring what you're looking for. So you have to have resolution, resolved. You got to be resolved to direct your thoughts towards goals and ideals that you have in mind. And then you got to stay with them. You have to work with them day in and day out. Refusing to let them go, refusing to give up on the goal, refusing to give up on the objective, refusing to procrastinate and put off things today for tomorrow. This is the key. It's the key. Losers don't win. Losers don't win. People that just put out stuff over and over and over and over 9 out of 10 times, they don't win. They never complete anything. The scripture says to us that the word does become flesh. So flesh is the meat and bone of the body. We know that. And flesh are the circumstances, conditions, and situations in your life. Heaven is the mind, earth is the body. And the scripture says it will be on earth as it is in heaven. So you've heard these things, you've read these things. Let's look over, let's go into this a little deeper. Because in John, St. John, it tells you, says that the word will become flesh, meaning that the word will take on form. It's going to take on form. Well, what is the word? It's a thought in the mind. The word is a thought in the mind. And that thought in the mind has the potential to become objectified in the life as a condition. This is what it means when it says the word will take on flesh. Those conditions, circumstances, and situations in your life are the fleshly part of the social life. Scripture says, as it is in your mind, that's how it's going to be in your body. As it is in heaven, that's how it's going to be on earth. Jesus told us in the scripture that the kingdom of heaven is within. He meant that the kingdom is in your mind. It's not somewhere outside. And look at what he said. He said, quote, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you." If you go where? If you go to the mind first. If you head to the mind first, if you study the mind first, then all the other things will come. Seek first the right working of your mind, where you're controlling it, where you're directing it, where you're suggesting to it, where it's not just left to run wild or think whatever it wants to think. You have it deliberately thinking what you want it thinking every day. The right working of your mind. Righteousness here is the wisdom of the mind. So first seek ye the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, or the right working of the mind, or the wisdom of the mind, and all these other things to be added unto you. There must be resonance between the thinking mind and the mind of feeling. So I was just reading Dr. Murphy yesterday, and Dr. Murphy was alluding to the mind, and the reference that he made was that your conscious mind is Adam and your subconscious mind is Eve. Your conscious mind is the masculine part of the thinking. Your subconscious mind is the feminine part of the thinking. The mind, the conscious mind is the intellectual part. Subconscious part is the emotional part of your thinking. So that's how he was referring. He referred it to as Adam and Eve. And when I say you have to have resonance, then there has to be a marriage. There has to be a marriage between Adam and Eve. There has to be a marriage between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. There has to be a marriage between your intellect and your feeling. In order for results to take place the way that you want them to. There has to be some resonance. There has to be some harmony. There has to be congruency between the two, conscious and subconscious. No harmony between those two, the life is going to be in disarray. Order is heaven's first law. We look into the skies. We look into the heavens. The first law that we see is order. There's nothing bumping into anything. Everything is on a course. Everything is on a pattern. It follows that course. It follows that pattern. It keeps the natural order. And you and I get a chance to live on this globe because of this balance. In the heavens. So as it is on heaven, that's as it is in heaven, that's how it should be on earth. So your conscious and your subconscious mind, this is the cerebral nervous system and the autonomic nervous system. Your cerebral nervous system regulates your conscious mind, your basic senses. Your autonomic nervous system is really regulating instinctive functions that's actually going on in the body. There's not another creature on the globe that has been able to free himself to a great extent from the control of the natural forces through his understanding of the relation of cause and effect. None but man has been able to do that. Man alone has been able to free himself to a great extent from the control of the natural forces through his understanding of the relation of cause and effect. Now, he can't free himself from all of it, but he has understood these laws, understood these principles, applied them. He's learned how to effectively use them. And now there are certain things that he can escape that he couldn't in time. Build his house a certain way today. His transportation is a certain way today. His clothing is a certain way today. Even the growing of his food is a certain way today. There are many things now that he's been able to do that no other species in the creation can do. There's no other lower species in the creation that can do what man has been able to do. Complete freedom comes when man realizes that mind is the only cause and that effects are what he sees. Let me say that again. I say complete freedom only comes when the person realizes that the mind, his or her mind, is the only cause and that effects are what he or she sees. For all of this that's around you, these are effects. Well, where did they come from? They came out of somebody's mind as an idea. They came out of somebody's imagination. They were created in the mind before they were manifested on the material plane. Complete freedom comes when he realizes that his mind is the cause of everything that's around him. Unfortunately, as people of the contemporary world, the modern world, the world of today, we are unaccustomed to the mastery over our own inner thoughts and feelings. Most people don't have mastery over them, of their thoughts and their feelings. We're unaccustomed to it. We ain't used to it. Being able to control our thinking, control our feelings, we just go off when we want to. Don't control the emotions. Let them express themselves in any kind of way. Use any kind of language that we want to use. No self-discipline. Won't subject ourselves to discipline. Just let it go. All right, I've had it. I've had enough of this. I'm tired of this. I'm just going to let go. I can't control it anymore. What difference does it matter? That's what happens to people. Their mind. sets them back. They don't realize how far. So this is unfortunate that at this particular time in the history of the world, most of us are unaccustomed to mastering our inner thoughts and feelings. That's why the world is in the condition that it's in today. Now, I believe in prayer. I do believe in prayer. But I do believe prayer is a refreshment for us. It keeps us in touch with the Creator over heavens and earth. And for us, those that practice the Muslim faith, we do this five times a day. So we get up with the prayer, we go to bed with the prayer. And during the day, we have the prayer. And what this is really doing is connecting us back to the Creator over heaven and earth. But I do believe that there's a deeper form of prayer and meditation and self-contemplation. This is prayer also, but it's a deeper prayer. It's a prayer where, because, you know, for us as Muslims, we don't close our eyes when we pray. We pray with our eyes open. But when you get into meditation, it's a deeper. Well, you say, well, why do you pray with your eyes open? Well, I think that's the way it was given to Muhammad the Prophet, the prayer of the peace be upon him, like that, because of the times that they were living in. I think that was the biggest thing, the times that they were living in. But God also does want you conscious of there's not only a spiritual world, but there is a material and physical world also. But we also know that this was the time of intrusion into the life of new people, people who were trying to find a new way of life in terms of the belief system relevant to religion. Prayer had already been given to others who had already been here before the Muslims. And self-contemplation and meditation were already here. In fact, Muhammad the Prophet, the prayers of the peace be upon him, he says this. He says, a moment of contemplation is worth 70 years of worship. Well, what is he talking about? It's prayers, worship. You're telling me 70 years of work, one moment of contemplation is worth 70 years of prayer? It's basically what he's saying, in essence. Just thinking and think. For thinking certainly profits the believers and the thinker. So meditation, I think, takes you a whole lot deeper, in fact, I know it does, than the regular prayers that we're offering every day. And once you get deep into that internal self, the infinite self, the universal self, the eternal self. Once you make that connection in there, I guess we could say that's the upper room or that's the closet, something new starts happening for you. A whole new world starts to open up for you. You start to see the reality of things as they are, instead of sometimes how you would like for them to be. So this is a huge subject. Your success is in your hands. It's in your own hands. But if we will discipline ourselves, first of all, get the purpose. Get the definite chief aim. You got to know what it is. Then you also have to expect that you're going to accomplish it, that you're going to achieve this definite chief aim, then you need the will to keep you focused, to keep you on that path, to cause you to hold on to your resolve and not give up and not quit until you get the results that you're looking for. Desire, expectation, demand for will. Because that's where the demand comes in, as a result of your will, focusing, concentrating, giving your attention to this objective or this goal that you have, and not quitting until you get what you want. That's key. So all the language, all of the training that we need in order to be successful, those things, for the most part, we have. It's just about implementing them. Whoever you may be, wherever you are, it's all about implementing your plan. Taking action every day. What is that one thing that you can do today that, if you do it, makes everything else unnecessary and not even worth doing? You won't even have to do that. Most of us, if we just picked up the telephone, we wouldn't have to go outside. This is that. But we take the long way in terms of too often trying to reach the destination that we want to go to. But you must find out what that one thing is, that if you did it, it would make everything else unnecessary, not even relevant to you being able to accomplish your goals and your objective. That's here for us. None can stop us from getting it. All we have to do is work for it. If we're willing to do that, nothing will hinder you from the success that you want, the progress that you want, the growth that you want, the development that you want. It's always good talking to you. I look forward to talking to you again the next time. Remember, your success is in your hands. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs to you. Pray that Almighty God will bless you. We look forward to talking to you again the next time. You all have a healthy and pleasant day. Good morning.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.